Welcome to Mysteries, Inc. I'm Spring.
I'm Joe.
And we are here to give you some more stories about history, mystery, conspiracies, and creatures.
Yes, we are. And so...
How exciting.
Again, we're doing remote again. Hopefully we'll really get to hang out again sometime soon. But between
week I wasn't feeling the best. I got sick. Kids are always getting me sick. And then... Yeah,
well, between that and then, I'm doing electrical stuff at home, so I'm just, too much on our plates. Anyways, so we're doing another remote episode, and I got a great suggestion from a listener who I work with, who had a great idea for how to do rock, paper, scissors, because of our leg that always messes things up. And so we're still going to do rock, paper, scissors, which if you're confused here, if you're new here, we do rock, paper, scissors to see who goes first to
we're
tell their
hardcore.
Yeah. And it's our favorite part, honestly. Actually, Mike even said we should just have a separate podcast where we just do rock, paper, scissors. But
I would take you on. I'd take you on.
Just 20 minutes of us going back and forth. And at the end, we're like, all right, what's the tally?
Shit,
Yeah. It's the shit talking that really does it. But the idea was to just hold up pieces of paper with rock, paper, or scissors. So we're going to give this a try tonight. So are you ready, Spring?
I'm ready.
All right.
So
rock, paper, scissors,
shoot.
What does yours say? Damn it.
Rock beats paper.
No, scissors.
No, I had scissors.
Wait, no, I totally had paper.
I would have cheated for you, Joe. That's how well we are friends.
All right.
I have a good one. I got a title for it. It's called Two in the Bush. And this week, I'm going to mix things up for you. But in the sense that my story isn't dark, it isn't creepy, and it's not brutal. All right? It's a little sad, but it's not bad. This week, I'm bringing you one of the original love stories that may have inspired the infamous star-crossed lovers Romeo and Juliet. It comes from the shores of Ireland. I've been really stuck there lately in the 12th century. 12th century. And it's a Celtic love story of a young prince named Tristan and his uncle, King Mark of Cornwall's bride, Isolde.
I was like, wow, very progressive for its time. But the family thing's still a little weird.
Her name could also be pronounced as Isolt, but I like Isolde. I think I've always enjoyed that version. So the story starts with Morholt, and Morholt is the Queen of Ireland's brother. He's also a knight on the Round Table with King Arthur. And one day, Morholt goes to Cornwall to collect tribute for Ireland from the King Mark. It feels weird to refer to a guy named Mark as king.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, exactly.
Hey, Mark. You know, but he's
and his friend Stan.
Well, his friend Morholt.
Right. Everyone else has a fitting name, and then Mark.
Yeah. So, Morholt went to Cornwall to get a tribute from Cornwall to like pay for his people, and Tristan, being young and dumb, decided to like. Oh, and Tristan's the nephew of King Mark. Sorry, I didn't know if I said that to you. He decided to challenge Morholt to a duel instead. He's like, "We're not gonna pay you. I'm gonna battle you, and whoever wins, that's what side of the dead it is." Morholt agrees. They fight, and while they fight, Tristan breaks off the tip of his sword in Morholt's head. But just before that, Morholt stabbed him with a poison spear.
Oh, man.
So Tristan escapes and flees while Morholt dies. And as he goes, he's like trying to get to Ireland. He comes across this young woman who ends up healing him. She is actually the Queen of Ireland, or Morholt's niece, or the Queen of Ireland's daughter, named Isolde. And she figured out Tristan's identity because for some reason they move fast, and somebody brought her the tip of the sword that was stuck in her uncle's head.
Okay.
And she compared it because she was like, wait a minute, this guy's all poisoned. And his spear or his sword is missing its tip. And she like put the puzzle pieces together and figured it out. She's like, holy shit, this guy killed my uncle. Somehow Tristan finds out who she is. They freak out and he flees back to Ireland. All right. Everything's going fine until in the future, fate wasn't done with them because Tristan was sent back to get Isolde for his uncle Mark.
Oh, I thought he was just to get the tip of his sword.
No, he left the sword. He was done with that. I think he had a brand new one made or something. But he came back and he's like, hey, my Uncle Mark, King Mark sent me here to go
See,
get.
Uncle sounds even funny. It's like, I came to grab this
It
lady for my Uncle Mark.
Uncle Mark. Hand on God, hand to God. That's the way
And
they're gonna
it's like
send
with an
it
Irish accent too, so
in.
like I'm not even gonna try that.
But we're going to Cornwall. Anyways. But here's the thing. Isolde is set to marry an evil Stuart who feels that he's worthy to marry her because he killed a dragon. His proof, he's got the head of a dragon there, okay?
I mean, that's pretty good proof.
True. But Tristan comes in and he's like, "Ah, the guy's lying." And they're like, "Well, how do you know? I mean, like there's a dragon head
'Cause he's
here."
a cheetah.
He was
'Cause
like, no, because honestly, this guy found the dragon I killed, and I can prove it. And he like whips out a dragon tongue, lops it down, walks over, opens the dragon's mouth. It's obviously got no tongue. And he's like, boom.
this is like a tale where they really like that like missing puzzle piece. Like, it's the tip of the sword. Oh yeah, well I got his tongue.
They're like, the parents are so impressed. They're like, that's it, you're going off to marry Mark, you know?
That also kind of came out of left field because this is the first mention of the time. Oh yeah, I just happened to carry around this dragon tongue from that time I didn't even mention where I killed a dragon.
I've been carrying it for months now, you
And so
know?
did he kill it in around Cornwall then? Because clearly he left a dragon
Yeah,
somewhere.
I have no idea. It's about as mysterious as the forensic analysis about the tip of the sword just miraculously appearing with Isolde. She's like, holy shit.
Right. This is a literary device, or like just a thematic device that this writer's really liked.
Well, as you have to remember, this is the 12th century. They're not requiring a whole lot of like proof on this. They're like, oh, that makes sense,
Right, and
you
the ring they get
know.
married, or the uncle's gonna give her is like, well, it's supposed to be this one in this case, but look, there's a hole. It's the same size. Planned it.
So while they're on their way back to King Mark's castle, Tristan and
Uncle
Isolde
Mark.
accident, huh?
Uncle Mark.
Uncle Mark's castle. Tristan and Isolde accidentally drink a love potion. See,
Oh,
Isolde
shit.
had a love potion with her because
Tequila.
she wanted to guarantee that this was going to be a good marriage. And she was going to, like, hell or high water, she was going to stick with it because it kind of like created peace between Ireland and Cornwall and stuff like that. So it was like she kind of knew that when she was going off to Mark, Uncle Mark's place, she wasn't coming back.
Like, wasn't that kind of the whole point in the first place? And then Tristan's like, I'm gonna stick my sword in dude's head.
Well, she didn't want, like, she didn't, she was like, dude, I don't even know if I want to be with these guys, but whatever. I'm going to drink a potion. But it turns out that her and Tristan accidentally drank it. Now, whether the potion was to last 3 years or a lifetime, it didn't matter because the two fell madly in love. And they tried their best to hide it from Uncle Mark when they got back. Yeah. I think it's just a lie. Like, oh, it was on purpose. It was a love potion, you know,
Yeah,
like
I mean
we
that.
didn't mean to be young and in love, you know. So for the most part, the love triangle worked out. King Mark was happy to have a nephew that he loved like a son at, by his side, and a wonderful woman on his other side to keep him warm. Like, he was just living the life. But as with all secrets, it was gonna come out. And he found out that those two were schtupping behind his back, and he was devastated. So he decided that Tristan was gonna be hung from the gallows, and he was gonna burn Isolde at the stake. He was just done. Both of them were gonna go for their deceit. He eventually felt pity for Isolde, and he pardoned her, but he pardoned her to go live in a leper colony. So I don't know how merciful that was. But he stood firm that Tristan was gonna die. He wasn't gonna take that kind of betrayal from his nephew. He wasn't, not gonna do that. But not willing to let that be the end, Tristan escaped and he rescued Isolde, and they both fled to the woods, and they like took shelter wherever they could, being on the lam for a while.
Eating dragons and
Eating dragon tongue,
right, yeah, that's the best part.
King Mark, they couldn't hide anymore, and King Mark agreed to let Tristan live on the condition that he returned Isolde to him and that he was banished. He couldn't come back. So he sent him to Brittany, like the country of Brittany over in England.
Spears.
No, but it's called Brittany. It's a real
I know
place.
what you
I don't.
I know
But
what you mean.
I know
The fact that you, when you had to specify more, I'm like, I know.
just making sure. Just making sure. But while he's there, this guy's got a problem, all right? Because while he's there, he meets a new woman named Isolde, but she's called Isolde of the White Hands, and he marries her. He's known. He's,
He just needed an
Isolde of the
Zelda.
White Hands.
Yeah.
So fast forward a few years, everybody's living their lives, doing okay, in their happily new marriages, new lives, whatever. But being the chivalrous man that Tristan is, he ended up being fatally wounded by another poison spear while in Brittany, while defending a woman from six crazy men, okay? So he remembered that the last time he was poisoned, how he was healed. So he sent his friend Caden to get his old flame, Isolde from Cornwall, and send
Yeah,
her to
the
heal him.
other is Zelda.
Well, he was convinced that she was his only hope. It was the only way it was going to happen. So Caden was given the instructions that go and get Isolde. Now, if she refuses, have a black sail when you come back. If she agrees, have a white sail. This way, I know, and I can just deal with it as it comes.
I
So
can't wait that
Caden.
extra hour.
Like,
Not even.
ah, shit. But as days went on, he asked his wife, Isolde of White Hands, if there was any sign of Caden, and she said no. And then one day, she saw a ship on the horizon with a white sail. So when Tristan asked if she saw anything, she said yes, but then she lied and said it was a black sail, meaning that Isolde from Cornwall wasn't coming. He closed his eyes and he just died right there. Done.
What?
Just grief stricken, okay? Meanwhile, on the ship, Isolde of Cornwall is anxiously waiting to find to see her love after many years and to help save him because she heard that he's been poisoned again and she's got the
He's
remedy,
just
he's
falling on
coming
poison spears.
back. But when she finally made it to shore, she ran to the castle and to his chambers and she saw him dead. To which she fell upon him and died right there.
Oh. Course.
Yeah. King Mark, Uncle King Mark, was heartbroken and devastated over the loss of both of them, so he brought them back and buried them in the family graveyard. And on each grave, he planted two rose bushes, one white and one red. But as the years went on, the rose bushes kept on intertwining with each other, which kind of pissed off King Uncle Mark because he was like, for fuck's sakes, leave her alone. So he cut the branches back like three different times, but each time they grew back stronger and then eventually turning out pink roses instead of white and instead of red, they were all just pink roses, kind of showing how intertwined and meant to be they were, supposed to
That's
be.
fun. I like it.
In other renditions, they talk about how it's a hazel tree and a honeysuckle tree that end up becoming intertwined and their roots and everything. So it kind of creates like that I don't know if you've ever seen like the tree of life kind of thing where the roots and the limbs kind of all intertwine with each other. That's it's kind of like an old Celtic kind of like symbolism. But it's just trying to like say that it's impossible to tell when one where one starts and the other one stops, that just how much they were with each other. And that's kind of their whole little story right there. I thought that
Neat.
was kind of like Romeo and Juliet, but without like
With dragon tongues and shit.
And this one wasn't like suicides and like stuff like that.
Right,
This
it's
was
just
really
grief,
heartbroken.
dying of grief.
Good grief. So that was
Nice.
my non-brutal story for you
Yeah,
guys.
that was surprisingly sweet for you.
Don't get used to
I
it.
won't. So, let me pull this up so I can still see things and tell you mine. So what I'm gonna talk about though is we kind of talked about it a little bit, or at least mentioned it. The Hat Man. Remember I mentioned the hat? I don't remember what context it was now, but I mentioned the Hat Man, like the sleep paralysis demon, or like
Yes,
ghost
okay,
even.
yes.
Okay, so we're gonna talk about that a little. And not it's not a story narrative like yours, which is fun. So this is a little more informal. But what's kind of fun about the Hat Man is that it's a fairly like newly recognized phenomenon, kind of like the Slender Man and things like
Oh,
that.
creepy pasta kind of thing.
Yeah. A lot of because yeah, a lot of the sources that I found were first-hand accounts on Reddit, or there's even this website.
Always reliable
That's where some of the best
Reddit.
like creepy
I
stuff comes from.
know.
There's also the hatmanproject.com, which is like all these people like sharing their stories. And so like in general, the Hat Man is mostly a commonly seen like sleep paralysis demon.
That's
And
creepy.
so what the concept of, if you're not familiar of, well, first sleep paralysis is it's kind of like that half awake state where you're not conscious, but you're not asleep, and or you're conscious, you're semi-conscious, but so you're actually like awake, but the part of your brain that keeps your body like from acting out your dreams is actually still active, so you can't move, hence the sleep paralysis, and it tends to kind of mess with your brain a little bit. And
Little
so
shit.
well, like the Hat Man, for example, he's described as a tall silhouette of a man in a brimmed hat. It kind of reminds me of the Watchers that I talked about in
Yes, those
of San
creepy
Lucia
little
Mountain Range,
fuckers.
minus the cloak and being so far away. Because instead, he's like usually at the foot of your bed,
Oh, fuck off.
right? So a lot of times doorways too, but I'll get into that in a minute here.
Oh, the between spaces.
Yeah, we'll get into that. So he's said to have like no visible features. Usually, I found somewhere he does, but it's more common that he has no features. But like, while that happens, it's like people just kind of innately sense expressions on him. So like, it's often just like they feel him grinning at them is like a common phrase I saw a lot. And they can feel his stare. Yeah, it just makes it extra creepy that like it's like a telepathic expression.
Like he wasn't really smiling, but he was.
Yeah. So, a lot of people have reported like seeing or interacting with him in a dream. Like in one of the stories I found, it spoke to him and said September 15th, and just kept saying that when he would ask what, and he
Usually
waited.
wasn't September 11th,
Right.
no.
Well, no. He waited for September 15th and nothing happened. But
Well, that's
still,
disappointing.
right. Yeah, this whole thread I'm reading out. Oh,
They
okay.
were off by a few days.
Right. So like I said with the doorway, my first like first time I heard about the Hat Man, first time it got into my brain, honestly, was this podcast where there's these people talking about like hauntings and like a bunch of people. It's like a common thing that people will just see instead of it just being on the edge of sleep. It's when you're walking around in the dark, you see him in the doorway, and then he disappears. And like, yeah, part of that is said to be something about the doorway, like distorts the space in the room. And so it makes the whole room like weird and breathy. And like, I swear, whenever I go walking to go to the bathroom at night, I've never seen it, but I always think I'm going to. It's like
voodoo. If you believe it, you could be affected by it. If you don't actually see it.
I'm just like, I always think when I'm like, look up at certain doorways or something where there's like light behind it, I'm gonna see it. Messes with my brain. Funny enough, oh yeah, I don't know, I think somehow I'd said it in relation to Aaron Rodgers, but yeah, so yes, Aaron Rodgers,
I remember you saying that he would see them, right?
He allegedly saw them in the room when he was doing ayahuasca trips in Peru.
They didn't tell him to be vice president, so he just didn't do it.
Good. Let's leave that alone. So
sorry, I apologize.
The wide world of sleep paralysis demons is actually pretty kind of as fun. It's a lot of weird characters. And so you've probably heard the term incubus or succubus. Yeah. Incubus, not just a 90s or 2000s. Yeah, 2000s alternative band. Pretty good, actually.
Succubus isn't just from South Park.
So essentially what that is the incubus is the male version and the succubus is the female version. And more or less they come to, like, harvest your sexual energy at night. It's like what they feed on. Yeah. So they basically, you often feel, with the most common thing about sleep paralysis demons, which is not a thing I saw, actually, all now that I can think of it, with the Hat Man, was the pressure on the chest. It's a common, and I think it's just that you can't move, and that's probably some of the muscles you're trying to like move, and then you feel the pressure. It's my guess. Okay. I could not find a good answer of why you feel pressure on your chest. But that's common with the succubus or incubus, is that people feel like they're being, you know, assaulted because of that pressure. Like there was a, I didn't write where this one was from, but the old hag. I think I did write about it later. But the old hag is like a common sleep paralysis demon where she's basically just sitting on your chest. The term that nightmare is an old English word meaning female. And so like it's, yeah, something about it's them pressing on you. I think this one was German. It's Hexadruken, and it's the witches pressing. And so, yeah, a lot of times it's kind of there's a female energy to it. I also found out that the German word for what we call a nightmare is Albtraum, which means elf dream. That was just a random thing I found while looking this up. I like that, though. Elf dream.
Well, you got to think about it. You can't really imagine a man sitting on your chest. That's like a little... That's a little aggressive, but a woman, a small woman, just kind of standing on your chest makes more sense. Like, I don't know, even on a terrified level, I'd rather have a small woman on my chest than a grown man.
Yeah. Like, the grown man just watches you and makes motion or makes faceless emotions at you. So yeah, in Japan, they call it the Kana Shibari, meaning bound in metal. And if you haven't guessed it yet, they're yokai.
Well, of course.
And I don't know I think it's just, again, that tight feeling. It didn't say what the metal part was about. But the shibari part, that word may sound familiar to some people. And then our old friend the kitsune, that nine-tailed fox, sometimes is like a sleep paralysis demon. Does a lot of things, but sometimes sits on your chest.
My cat sits on my chest too, I get
it. There's a couple of these yokai that are sleep paralysis demons. There's a raccoon-like dog known as the Tanuki, and it has magical testicles.
We might have to explore that more.
They're really large and represent good money luck. That's just really it.
All right, we've explored it. Never mind.
And it's said to possibly be some of the inspiration behind the Mario raccoon tail.
Oh, yeah, but they took out the balls.
Yeah. Let's see. In Brazil, the pisadeira is a ragged, long, fingernailed crone who attacks people who sleep on their back. And
Oh.
particularly after like an indulgent meal. So that's when they get you, if she gets you.
Well, she doesn't exist, because if she did, she'd be attacking my partner all the time. He's always laying on his back snoring away after an indulgent meal, and I am just shaking him to get him on his side.
Yeah, you just need to put that in his mind, and then he's gonna be terrified. Let's see. The Pisanta is an enormous demon dog of Catalan lore, Spain, that will crush you as you sleep. Sometimes it's a cat, but usually it's a big demon dog. In like the Arabic world, jinn are often like if
Yeah.
often associated with sleep paralysis. And so in the case of the Hat Man, honestly, I think to a degree it's like a self-perpetuating, like it's the thing that gets in your head and then you think of it and then like that's where I think a lot of it comes from. And it's kind of like once you start reading about it, it's this shared consciousness thing that everyone starts seeing this thing.
You always see something in your peripherals, you know? Like, you're always like, was that really there?
But what is with
Or
the
no?
hats? I mean, really, there's something about hats and supernatural beings.
That
Oh yeah.
would be an intriguing correlation to check out.
Well,
Maybe it's just,
there's the
maybe there's
Watchers.
another,
There's
yeah,
this
but like
San
back in
Lucia
the day,
Watchers. There's this guy, and they're like very similar. It's like, is this some weird interdimensional the shadow people? Have you ever heard of? I should have thought looked into that one with it. Have you ever heard of shadow people?
you've said something, but like, I'll just be honest, most of the time, when it comes to the ghosts, you got to remember these stories came in a time when everybody wore a whole bunch of hats all the time. So it
But
might
this
have
is
just been an
oh
identification
well
thing.
the Watchers are old, but this is pretty new. But yeah, the shadow people, that whole like concept of like ghosts that live in the shadows,
That is
that's
creepy.
interdimensional. Also, both of them, I'm pretty sure, both that and Hat Man, because I did see something about there's like a lot of people who take Benadryl wind up seeing it. So similarly with the shadow people, I remember seeing.
Could be a
It's
correlation.
really just the Benadryl abuse.
All right.
All right. Well, that is all I have for the Hat Man. So
All
I
right. Well,
think
then
that
I
ties
guess
it up for
until,
this week.
yeah, until next week. See you guys
See
later.
you guys next week. Oh.